Let's do this.
Create the habit that gets you in the direction of the thing that you want. It's better to under-promise and over-deliver than it is to promise everything and fall short a bunch of times.
On point.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Point. I'm your host, Taylor Burke, and in today's episode, we have the founder of Amazon Ad School, CEO of Best Page Forward, and best-selling author, Brian Cohen. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Taylor. Doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today. I just finished your book not too long ago, so I reached out to you. I was like, I have to have him on. And also, a lot of people are trying to find that side hustle or trying to work for themselves. And I'm like, no better person than to get Brian on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, I love working with entrepreneurs. And so I'm excited to get to talk to you and your audience today. Yeah.
We do need to know how to write our blogs and we do need to know how to promote ourselves. So, I mean, you can definitely show us the ropes in that way also.
Absolutely. No. And then I know the nice thing about people who blog, people who write, people who podcast, people who social media is it's always leading to something. It's always about the funnel. And so if you can improve the funnel, life is good.
That is so true. You know what? We haven't really talked about the funnel on this podcast before, but the funnel is such a good word and it truly is like full circle. It all connects.
We sometimes in this business, we spend time on things that don't matter, but the funnel matters a lot. And we maybe worry about, you know, you and I both podcast, what microphone we have. Like first 5 years I podcasted, I had the bargain bin, whatever you could find, but it was so much more about the connection. And it was so much more about what you can send people to rather than any of that other stuff that barely matters.
Exactly. And something that you also said in your book too, that sometimes it doesn't have to be perfect, but it's the finished product. But as long as you have it and you're trying, it's better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, Brian, let's start back from the beginning with little old you. You went from Starbucks barista to a successful six-figure author and business owner. Talk to us about that.
Sure. Well, it was fun. I just posted on social media this week. I was in Seattle this past week. Amazon Ads had said, well, we'd love to talk. We'd love to make you one of our Amazon Ads educators. And so I went down with three other wonderful people and we went in the Amazon building and everything. And it was wonderful. But I had to go to the first Starbucks. I had to go down to the Pike's Place Market. I had to take a picture. I had to take videos in front of the first Starbucks because 2006 to 2009, I was a barista. I was doing stuff on the side, as we always are, but I was a barista. I was there every Saturday, Sunday morning, bright and early. And to be able to, many years later, look back on it and think about, honestly, even some of the things I learned from back in those days, which was taking care of people, always listening to what people really want, even if they say something else, and just being able to work with people. Because even in front of the counter, you've got all the wonderful, crazy personalities that will walk into a store. But behind the counter, you have to function as a team with this variety of individuals, a variety of ages, variety of backgrounds, and you have to work together. And a lot of things that I learned from Starbucks definitely have helped me in a big way to be a person who started off with freelance writing, moved into freelance writing for a niche, and then taking that into a bigger business to run courses for authors, do services for authors, do coaching for authors, and now even an agency running Amazon ads for authors. It all kind of started from learning some of these skills that I learned way back when.
That's awesome. It's crazy to think that like Starbucks gave you so much skill set. And it doesn't just have to be Starbucks, but just careers that we had or babysitting or working at the local pub, like these skill sets that we bring from the beginning of our lives to now, it all connects.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Brian, talk to us about how you became an entrepreneur and left Starbucks and just like how you became to work for yourself. Tell us about that, the backstory on that.
Well, I think so much comes to like your personality, right? When I was in college, I studied acting and English. Man, does the acting help when it comes to like webinars, podcasts, all that stuff. So I'm still using my degree in a way, but I was always finding myself outside of the system. If I tried to get a show that I would direct up and it didn't get accepted, I was just like, okay, I'll do it on my own. It was always like this idea that I can do it on my own. If the world won't let me, I'm just going to do it. And I think that really followed me. That experience helped me a lot because when I was going off on my own to do freelance writing, I was working for some various companies. I did have the opportunity to work for a company that allowed me to ghostwrite for a bunch of different publications. Like I had words that are not attributed to me, but that showed up in Fast Company and Entrepreneur and all of these online publications. And I realized, okay, once again, I'm in the system, but I'm not getting exactly what I want out of it. And so a friend of mine gave me the idea, look, Brian, you write books, you like helping authors. What if you took some of the copywriting that you were doing and you started doing it for authors instead? And so that was kind of the beginning of my business for authors, Best Page Forward, because I just started writing the back cover copy that goes on the back of the book and or on the website. And I had a podcast that I had launched about 8 years ago called The Sell More Book Show. And I said, hey guys, we're launching this new service. Here's this low, low price. And we had 100 orders in 30 days.
Wow.
And it was terrifying, but I obviously fulfilled those orders. I wrote those book descriptions. And now all those years later, about six and a half years later, we've written 5,000 book descriptions for the community. And that was how we started, was just writing what goes on the site or what goes on the back of the book.
You say that sounds terrifying when you first got that, but at the same time, that's also amazing. And I'm sure you were like, I did it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
so awesome. Of course. It's like very validating, very validating.
100%. So did you only use the podcast to get the news out there that you were doing that? Or like, how else did you market your business to get the word out there that you were doing that for the authors?
In the beginning, it was just the podcast. I didn't have much of an email list to speak of. And so I definitely was using that, leaning on that, but it allowed me to get other things. When I launched it, was able to get on other podcasts, was able to start building my list that way, started to do kind of joint venture webinar kind of things. And over the next few years, that was the big thing other than the podcast, doing webinars with other partners in the space. And back in 2016 or so, this was a very new industry, self-publishing. And so there were a lot of newer teachers. It was easier to get a foothold in. Like if you are going into a very mature market, it might be hard when you're just starting out to say, hey, person with 25,000 people on your email list, you want to do a webinar. That's not as likely to happen. But if you connect with other people who are also just starting, then there is the opportunity that maybe you can slowly but surely, by each doing kind of a swap, you can help grow each other's list over time. And I did probably over 150 webinars over the course of 4 years. And that was, for the longest time, I didn't do too much advertising. That was how I went from, okay, I just have this podcast audience, but how can I leverage having become a bit of an influencer in the space to building even bigger? And that was all on the back of, yes, a lot of webinars, but when you do a lot of webinars, you get a lot of email subscribers and you get really good at delivering webinars.
Right. And something that you said reminded me of something. I went to a podcast conference last year and they said exactly what you're saying. They said to collaborate with people in our industry. And I remember when I first heard that, Brian, I was like, why would I collab with my competitors? Right? Like you can't help but think that. But it's crazy when you collab with your competitors, it's like you're working together I don't even know how to explain it, but you're so right that it actually is beneficial mm-hmm. rather than hurting you.
My favorite word that I heard for what that term is co-opetition. So you are cooperating with your competition and it can make a huge difference.
Wow. I've never heard that. I love that. You are proof that it worked. Did it work for your competition right. also?
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, like I value really the relationships with partners who have continued to want to work together. I have folks who I've probably run webinars with, my stuff to their audience, their stuff to my audience for 4 straight years. And for the people who they did it once and then they were like, well, I got what I wanted out of it and left. Obviously, they didn't say that, but like that's one thing. But for the people who want to keep working together and who really, you can tell, want it to be a 50-50 relationship, they want you to get as much benefit out of them as they get out of you. At the beginning, I worked with pretty much everybody. And I learned, well, there's some people I should work with and some people I shouldn't. And that's been one of the best indicators. When I've seen that someone cares what happens from my promotion, they really show that they want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. And that those are great relationships. Once you identify one of those, don't go trying to make 200 million new relationships. Take care of the ones that you have.
Right. What's a characteristic of someone that you don't want to work with that you have found along the way?
So in the webinar game, a lot of it is you're showing their product, they're showing your product. You need to be really willing to tap into, is this product actually going to help my audience? Is this product actually going to work for my audience? And I think that a good rule of thumb is to look at the product ahead of time and make sure that it is a legitimate thing. And if ideally you want to go through it and make sure that it works, because if you don't, you can take a reputational hit from someone, one, you promoting someone's product that isn't very good, and two, from them promoting you, they are saying your name out there. That's not something you want to even be associated with.
Yeah. Do your research.
Definitely do your research.
Okay. Something that you have in your intro of your book, you say one of the fastest paths to success is starting a new project or a side hustle. Side projects can mm-hmm. result in extra income, greater fulfillment, oh, yeah. and even a more enjoyable career. So you also say, and I have to quote you because this is like the reason why I was like, huh, you say, if you aren't creating something in your spare time, you aren't reaching your full potential.
Mm-hmm. I think that so many people, you know, certainly anyone in a 9-to-5 job, you're not creating anything for yourself. If you don't have something going on the side, you're just working for someone else.
Right.
All week, all life long, and you don't want to be working for them all life long. So you need to create something because too many people, they say they died with the song still in them. And you don't want that, where you don't have the ability to show what you're strong at, what you can accomplish. And so side hustles are not easy. Because more often than not, and I work with a lot of people who are side hustling because a lot of authors are doing it as a side hustle on the side of a 9-to-5 job or later in life, and it's kind of a retirement. They're doing this on the side and they are creating these stories from within or these courses from within. And you can see it in their eyes when you ask them, can you tell me about this project?
Right.
They get so excited. Even if it's not necessarily marketable yet, you can see the energy. You can hear it in people's voices. When they're talking about something they're passionate about, it's like, how was work? Fine. How's your book? Oh, let me tell you about my book. Like you can hear it. And if you don't have something in your life that makes you change your voice, that makes your energy rise, then it's going to start getting pushed down and pushed down and pushed down and more so to the point that when you're finally ready or you have the space or when I'm finally ready to do this thing, you don't have the energy for it anymore. Or you don't have the passion for it anymore. So you need to listen to that creative voice within because it's ready. It's ready to give you extra oomph at the end of a shift, extra oomph at 4 a.m, extra oomph 11:00 p.m. to actually make progress on your project.
100%. I'm reading a book right now. And one of the quotes that the author uses, he says, when you stop learning, you start dying. And that kind of relates to what you're saying. When you stop caring about what you're doing, or if you're just working your 9 to 5, you aren't reaching your full potential. And it's so sad. It makes me sad because I know it's so hard and people are exhausted. And, you know, some people are working 9 to 5, but then they have families and other obligations, but that's what your book's about. So this is a perfect segue. You talk about that a lot of people have a hard time getting their side gig, side hustle up and running because of time, energy, and priorities.
Right. Well, time is obviously one of the first things, and this isn't for everybody, but if you are working at a time where no one can interrupt you, you have power with that time. And I know a woman who, she homeschools her kids, so she has obligations during the day. And for years, she has gotten up at 4:30 in the morning because no one's up. She started writing books at that time. And it's been years that she's been doing this. And from getting up at 4:30 in the morning and working on her project, just those first 2 hours of the day, she has written 90 novels.
Wow.
90. You have the same reaction everybody does, which is, wow, that's incredible. But it started when she had zero. And she got up at this time. And because she was able to get up when there were no distractions, she was able to have focused time. I love Cal Newport's book, Deep Work, that deep, concentrated work where nothing is going to get in your way. And maybe it's not morning, maybe it's night, maybe it's not morning or night, but maybe it's the weekend. And it means you're going to sacrifice things. Sleep is not ideal to sacrifice, but at the beginning, that may be what you have to do. It's not ideal to sacrifice time with your family. It's not ideal to sacrifice time out with your friends, but none of this is ideal. You have to care about your thing more than you care about those other things.
Right. And something that you also say in your book too, if you just carve out 1 hour a day, just 1 hour a day, or 5 minutes multiple times throughout the day and to add up to an hour, you get an extra 365 hours. And it's like, when I read that, Brian, I was like, well, duh. But then like seeing that number, like 365 more hours a day to create something that's all yours. It's like, well, duh, who wouldn't do that?
Right. Yeah. Those hours add up over time. I love giving people duh moments because sometimes we make things so complicated that to hear something really, really simple is exactly what we need. And I have, I think there's over 1,000 reviews on that book, How to Work for Yourself. And some of those reviews are like, well, this is like full of duh moments. And I'm like, exactly. Because sometimes we make things so convoluted that exactly what you need is someone to just tell you the basic facts, hours add up, energy adds up. It's the stuff that people, while people are taking $4,000 classes with certain coaches, they are eating junk food and not able to have the energy to complete things. And it's that simple thing that would have made a whole lot more difference than the program they just bought.
Right. But not even that, Brian. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. And yes, it's things that we already know, but like just that little extra reminder, it's like, I needed to hear that again. Because it's like, it's obviously in our subconscious. We just need it to be reminded to us, but like to put it back in our forefront of our mind.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
Something that you also talk about in the book is to only check your email twice a day. You said in the morning and in the evening. And what do you say to the people who are working? Are we talking about like personal email at this time?
Your side hustle email for sure. My wife works for a startup and she has even just seen the benefits of only checking her Slack workspace or only checking her email when she needs to, because it's so easy to get distracted. I was doing a coaching call earlier today and I had to check something in my Slack, which is essentially like my email. And when I was in the meeting, I saw a really distressing message come in from one of my team members because I had forgotten to close it down. And so I'm now distracted in the middle of my coaching session because I did not follow my own rule of removing those distractions. And when you get an email and you have it like in the corner, because we all like have our little notifications, I try to turn all those off. But when you have a notification pop up, bing, you lose whatever focus you had on the thing you were trying to work on. And you may still have like 80% focus on it, but probably even less than that, which means you're going to be tempted to check your email. You check your email, you come back, you lost your momentum.
Right.
You can't, you know, it's like you've screeched to a halt. The car's not going to go 70 miles per hour again. You are at a standstill. It's stopping and starting that is one of the biggest impediments to people making progress.
So close all the distractions out. And when you're doing something, give it like 100% focus is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Which is easier said than done. Shut off the phone, get things like freedom.to on your, I think I have a lifetime membership. It's one of those web browser blocker things. There's certain websites. If you're like, I don't need to go to ESPN. I don't need to go to news sites. It'll block it for a certain amount of time. And that kind of stuff is when you're getting real hardcore about this. When you're blocking those sites that you know are going to get in your way. I will admit to not being as hardcore about it as I used to be. But when I was, I would say, all right, these are all the sites I know I visit. If I start visiting a site that's not on that list, I will then put that on the list and get it blocked so that it wouldn't distract me.
Talk to us about the importance of planning.
One of my favorite stories from Atomic Habits by James Clear, he talks about how for this famous singer or something, they were talking about getting to the gym every day. And the tough part wasn't getting to the gym. It was about setting aside the clothes to put on. And for that person, was hailing a taxi. That's all they required themselves to do. That was the only habit they were trying to form, was get on the way to the gym. Don't worry about what you do at the gym or what kind of exercises you're going to do or how many minutes you're going to spend there. Create the habit that gets you in the direction of the thing that you want. And if you are having to get, let's say you are trying to get up early and you want to make sure you don't wake up your partner, you might want to, anything that's going to crinkle, anything that's going to make noise, you set it aside. You have your outfit laid out so you can just change out of your pajamas and go into whatever room is that you are working in. Or if you're leaving the house, go leave the house. I used to write at a writing co-op space, kind of just like a general work co-op space. And I would do the same kind of thing every morning at whatever time. Get to the bus stop. And then when I get on the bus, I know I'm already headed over in that direction. So in that way, preparing ahead of time, but also just establishing the habit that is going to get you closer to what you want, that is key. I no longer add anything to my to-do list on a given day. If you give me something, you're like, this is urgent. I'm going to say, well, it's going to have to wait till tomorrow because I don't put out fires urgently. I'm going to tackle it tomorrow. So I actually have a calendar event on my Google Calendar for every day of the week, and I will move to-do items into there. And then I, in the morning when I'm like, what do I have to do today? I have a list because I past Brian set up future Brian with all the things that need to get done today. But I do not do them now because I know that's just going to distract me from the things I had already set out to do. And I don't want a to-do list overload.
Wait, I love that idea. Have you seen that work for you?
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm a business owner. If there's something that comes in, it's going to distract me. If there's something that's like, this needs to be done, I'm going to move things that I already said need to be done today. Mm. So I've just kind of trained my team and trained my customers that if there's something really, really urgent, if it's brand new thing that was not on my radar at 5 a.m. this morning, I'm not going to add it because it is going to keep me from doing what I already decided that I need to do today.
Right. And you know what? What's an extra 12 hours of them waiting?
Right.
That's actually good because I'm such a planner too, Brian, with every aspect of my life, but I do not do what you just said. When something comes to me urgently, I drop everything and I do it. And it causes me so much stress. You know what I mean? Like causes stress, anxiety. Oh, yeah. But like, what's the big deal about waiting another day?
And I have learned that most people don't care, and the ones that do probably aren't your customers.
Right. Hey, have you heard about Vagaro? It's the best place to book hair appointments, facials, and even workout classes. They have a huge marketplace where you can find local beauty, wellness, and fitness businesses that fit your exact needs. Plus, with the Vagaro app, you can book services and classes whenever, wherever. Who knows? Your new favorite self-care business could be a simple search away. Download the Vagaro app. That's V-A-G-A-R-O to get started today. You talk about goal setting, and something that I want to make clear is just not goal setting with your side hustle, but you talk about goal setting in every aspect of your life. You talk about health, relationship, finances, and then your business, so your side hustle. Why is it important to make goals for every aspect of your life?
Well, I think that it all ties together. If you are not healthy, either through illness or through weight or through whatever, it is going to impact your ability to work. If you are constantly having miscommunications with your partner, you are going to be bringing a certain kind of energy into your attempts to work. That isn't going to work. I remember one of the most motivated people I ever met. He was a fellow barista, but he had also pitched in the minor league baseball. Like, this was a motivated guy. And he wrote an amazing list of goals for himself. I was so impressed. And I looked through his goals and I was like, hey, I noticed something here. There's nothing about you and your partner here. And he's like, oh, that's kind of weird. And like 2 months later, I think they had broken up. And it was showing that we sometimes get nervous to put these personal things into our goals, but they totally impact everything. And so it's nice to have a holistic view of everything is going to factor in. I was reading one of the books by the Shark Tank guys, and he was talking about how he was prioritizing his health, and they actually found something that they were fortunate enough to catch very, very early. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, of course, after these couple of years of COVID. And you can't put stuff off, whether it is an actual potential illness or something festering in your relationship or a health thing or a thing with your family. Anything that's festering is a ticking time bomb. And if that goes off when you're trying to launch a product, or if that goes off while you're trying to do a webinar, or at any point in your business, that is going to set you back. And so you need to try to maintain and increase the health of these other aspects of your life, because if they go south, they will absolutely impact your business.
Totally. And I have to make a full circle right here, kind of going back to what you said in the beginning, the funnel. When one thing, it's like a domino effect, like it all connects. Right. So that makes perfect sense. Like, your business is also going to relate to your relationship, and your relationship's also going to relate to your finances, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I totally see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is hard to admit these sorts of things. I was just talking to a group of coaching students and I said, all right, you've gotten good advice from people before me. You're getting advice currently, and some of you are going to take it, some of you aren't. But it's important to recognize, if you haven't taken good advice in the past, if you aren't taking good advice now, what is the resistance? Like, you need to kind of figure that out, because the resistance could be, well, I don't have the energy for that. Or the resistance could be, well, I actually want something different than what you're sharing here. But we don't always like dive into that deeper stuff personally. But if you are at any point a solopreneur and you're looking to eventually become a larger kind of entrepreneur, it's on you. And every aspect of you impacts your business. So you really have to pay attention. You have to ask yourself the tough questions. And if you don't, then you might pay the price. And, you know, nobody wants that to happen.
No, exactly. When someone is setting their goals, or just starting off setting their goals, Brian, do you recommend them starting with like a month goal, a year goal? What is your advice on that?
Well, I think different things appeal to different people. I'm a big fan of the Strengths Finder a test, the Clifton Strengths Finder, because it will go into what appeals to you and what doesn't. Like, some people are motivated by getting one idea and running with it. I'm one of those kind of people. Some people need to know everything about a concept from beginning to end to have that motivation. And so I think it's always a good idea to look backwards. Look backwards at what has motivated you before. Like, if you were ever in sports, what motivated you to practice? If you were big into your academics, what motivated you to do extra homework? Because if you can think back, I actually asked this question in a coaching session. Someone was like, should I have a revenue goal or a number of books goal? And I said, well, what has motivated you before? And they were like, revenue. I'm like, well, there's your answer. We don't always need someone to tell us. Sometimes we have the answer. So if you have been really motivated by big, hairy, audacious goals that are year or 3 year or 5 year, roll with it. If you're more like, I need a today goal, or I'm not going to get anything done, do a today goal, like a tiny habit, like email 5 people, or to write 3 slides in a webinar, or create a social media post, whatever it is. Sometimes having that mini goal can make as much difference as one of these big things, but different strokes for different folks. Know yourself a little bit better. Know what you've done before that's motivated you. And that is going to help you when you try to figure out, well, how should I set these goals?
Exactly. That's great advice. And this kind of goes into my next thing that I want to talk to you about. More than half of new businesses will fail within the first 5 years. And statistics mm-hmm. show that 8 out of 10 new businesses will disappear within the first 3 years. And almost 80% of new businesses fail within their first year. Why do you think that is?
I think not everybody is a business person. And I think that people who are natural, like have the natural skill set for it, have a better shot. But I think anybody really can do it. It's just you have to go back to what are you strong at. If you are trying to do things in the business that aren't suited for you and you're trying to do it all, then it makes sense to try to outsource things that are not your strength. And that can be really hard at the beginning, especially if you don't have any money. So it's good to kind of do things on barter, do things on trade if you need to. Look, I mean, back in the day, I was selling my plasma to make extra cash. Looking back on it, I would have sold more plasma to get more assistant hours to help out with the things I'm not good at. Because honestly, my business probably would have grown more effectively at the beginning. I really think that so much of it comes down to people doing things they're not strong at. But if you can cover up those weaknesses by having help or even just by paying someone to do something for you once, that can really help. Another thing, and this I feel like I learned a lot later, was the power of systems. Good systems. For instance, we run a free challenge that we've done for anywhere between 3,000 and 8,000 people at the same time. It's a madhouse, lots and lots of posts, emails, everything. And I was talking to Jada Selner, who is a great coach, who's coached me. And she had done lots of challenges before and said, you need templates, you need support answers you can copy and paste, you need a system. And we didn't have the system yet. And when we gathered that system and got it together and taught it to the people on our team, just instead of responding to this fresh, make sure that you copy and paste an answer if it's appropriate. Our efficiency went up. People didn't necessarily even feel like we were using stock answers, but by using those, saved ourselves time, saved ourselves energy. And in the beginning, when you don't have much of a system for your business, you need to start thinking about, well, what is my system to make this easier? How can I make this process stronger and easier? I love the word anti-fragile. How can I make this process anti-fragile so that it won't just break if I'm sick for one day? Those are the kind of things you need to think about when you're working in the beginning of your business, because a lot of people don't, and that's why they fail.
Exactly. And something that you also said too was building your team. And another mm-hmm. statistic that you have is businesses with fewer than 20 employees have only a 37% chance of surviving. So, and something that you said in the very beginning of you talking about this was that you had to delegate and ask for help with your assistants. So it is important to build that team.
Oh, yeah. Building a team is not easy. It's not easy. I lucked out. My first assistant ever was just wonderful. I've had mostly wonderful people, but I've learned over the years that some of your best people are going to be the people who have already followed you. Like they all already follow your brand. Some of those super fans that are already bought in to what you teach and what you share, some of those tend to be the best people to hire. But, and this is the advice given to me by Jamie Masters, Eventual Millionaire podcast, who coached me for a time. She talked a lot about if you surround yourself with A players, people who you would describe letter grade as an A, your life is going to be a lot easier than if you keep the B's and C's and D's around. And I've always resisted that. Because I'm like, no, these are my people, man. These are the people who, like, they've been with me forever. But every time I have an internal problem with somebody, it is never one of my A players. It is always someone who I've been like, I'm just going to stick with them because they've stuck with me. And I think it's probably prevented me from growing to a certain extent. I'm very happy with where we're at, but I definitely think that that advice holds true. And so if you have an instinct that someone is not at that level, is not the A player, listen to your instincts, because I will tell you years later, I'm happy I've kept all the people I've kept. I also know there were moments that could have gone better along the way if I listened to the time-tested advice.
So by the A players, you mean like employees, like if they're doing things over and over again that aren't A-level status to kind of part ways?
Yeah, that's the advice as it was given to me that I have not fully followed. But yeah, I mean, you will notice things that are not up to the standard you want. And it is your responsibility to teach. It is your responsibility to train. It is your responsibility to develop the system that will help them. But if they've gone through all that training and teaching and responsibility, and they've had time to learn and get better, and it just hasn't happened, it's not going to suddenly happen.
Right, right. That's good advice, but also hard advice.
Oh, yeah. That's why I haven't fully taken it myself. But it is one of the painful things. Right. In running a business.
Yeah. Not to contradict you, but I read something also that if your people like underneath you or on your team are even doing it 60 to 80%, that's better than sometimes adding that stress of you doing it. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh yeah. There's certain things that no one's ever going to do as well as you, as the owner. If you're the owner, especially if you came from a skill position like I did, I was skilled at copywriting. And then, you know, I handed off the copywriting to other people. I knew right off the bat that they weren't necessarily going to do the same job that I did. And now I have people that do even better than I did, which is great, but it took time. You need to delegate. You shouldn't abdicate. Don't like give a task away and then never check on this person. But you need to delegate if you're going to grow. I've heard some people talk about at a certain point, you have an HR problem, which is you need to have more people, human resources. At certain points to grow, you need more people to pull it off. And that sometimes means you are going to need to take it and deal with it. The fact that this person is not you, but they're also going to bring in skills that you don't have.
Right.
I have a lot of wonderful people that are a lot more organized than me. And I'm very lucky because they keep me in check to help make sure that I'm organized enough to actually get stuff done.
Okay. Well, that's good. Delegate and just know that when you bring people on, they're also bringing skill sets that you don't have either.
100%.
I was researching small businesses and I found something quite interesting I wanted to share with you. They say highly successful people like millionaires or people who have made it successful in their career have multiple sources of income. That's what makes them successful. So like kind of what we were talking about before, people who work the 9 to 5, they should have other sources of income because that's what makes them successful.
Yeah. No, I think that it is really smart to have diversified streams of income for sure. I will also say that Sometimes people spread themselves too thin across those. And if you have something that is working, like we have one author that we worked with who found that one of their series, they had like different genres, different series. One of their series that they thought was going to work well didn't work as well as they'd hoped. And when they ran the numbers, when they looked at it, their other series was just far and away. When you threw ads at it, it really, really succeeded. So she started really focusing on that mindset. The thing that is the most profitable for me, I doubled down on it. She kept doubling down on it. And it started as kind of side hustle money, about $1,000 a month. But she recently had a $70,000 month. That doesn't come from, I'm going to stay diversified in 8 different directions. Sometimes that comes from, okay, I have these 4 side hustles. This one is making me 10-to-1. The rest are making only 2-to-1. Make sure if something's making you that 10-to-1, if it's significantly more profitable than the other things you have going on, double, triple, quadruple down on that one, apply the 10x rule, Grant Cardone, and put as much effort into that one as you can. You can keep everything else on a low simmer, but if something is working for you significantly better than anything else, don't say, great, that's handled. Now let me get this thing up there. No, no, no. Focus on the thing that is getting you the most profit.
I love that. That's great advice. Brian, any piece of advice you'd like to leave us on or anything you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
Absolutely. So when I first started, everything was just done so haphazardly and just recklessly. And it was fun. But at the same time, I did learn that you really have to make sure that when you are promising something, you are going to over deliver on it. I definitely, at the beginning, when you're trying to sell products, you're trying to sell services, you're like, I will get it done quick. I will get it done well. I will get it done with skill. And usually, really, you can only get about 2 out of those 3 things, if not only 1. And so you have to say sometimes it's going to take longer, but it's going to be good. Or you have to say to yourself, it's okay if I don't deliver this in a day. It's fine if, you know, like we were saying earlier, sometimes things are just going to wait till tomorrow when you have a clear head. It's better to underpromise and overdeliver than it is to promise everything and fall short a bunch of times. And learning that has served me so well because I'm not the biggest fish in my industry. There are other people who have bigger email lists, who have bigger promises, who have bigger all sorts of stuff. But anyone who's worked with me, they know Brian is going to care more about you. And that's the thing I've found the most important is I've showed that I'm going to put the care into it. I'm going to do everything I can to over-deliver. If you are disappointed, it's probably because you didn't read all the emails that showed all the good things you were going to get, because we always do everything we can to almost downplay rather than to say, you're going to make all this money, whatever. We downplay so that we don't get people who are expecting incredible things, but then we do everything we can to deliver incredible things.
Totally. And I feel like people would rather have that than the opposite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious about the books on your shelves. Are these your favorite books?
Oh, some of them are my own books. Some of them are books that I really, really like. I think some that I mentioned, Influence is up there, Asking It is Given. Like we've got some woo-woo, we've got some personal development stuff, we've got some business stuff. I don't think it's necessarily my favorite books, but they are books that have really made a difference. I would say that once you've gotten to a point, you're not even trying to read 200 books a year anymore, like all entrepreneurs seem to be. I'm not taking in a lot right now because I know my focus. I know what I'm working on. I don't need to learn 200 different ideas because I know what I'm doing. And so I'm just going to focus on doing the best I can for my team and for my customers.
Well, I love to hear that, Brian. And I feel like that's a good way to close it out. But before I let you go, we're going to play a quick game. And I play this on every podcast. It is Taylor's Would You Rather. And so I made you 7 Would You Rather questions that are Brian focused. And you only have 3 seconds to choose one or the other.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather only be allowed to write blog articles or only be allowed to write books?
Books.
Would you rather only be able to order a caramel frappuccino for the rest of your life at Starbucks or only be able to order hot chocolate for the rest of your life at Starbucks?
Hot chocolate.
Would you rather write an autobiography on your life story or a children's book series?
Children's book series.
Would you rather sell coloring books on Amazon or socks on Amazon?
Coloring books.
Would you rather work at Starbucks again for a year or work as a teacher for a year?
Ooh, a teacher.
Would you rather start a side hustle only through Instagram or only through Amazon?
Only through Amazon.
Would you rather sleep in but stay up late or get up early to go to bed early?
Get up early to go to bed early 100% of the time.
Me too. Okay, last one. Your book series turned into a movie. Who would you rather play your star character? Leonardo DiCaprio or Morgan Freeman?
Ooh, Morgan Freeman.
Can't go wrong with Morgan Freeman.
I know.
His voice.
It's his voice.
I know. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy and hectic schedule to meet with me and give all our aspiring entrepreneurs and our entrepreneurs some great advice and insight.
You're so welcome. I appreciate you. And this was a lot of fun. So thanks.
Our goal is to always give you the content you didn't know you needed to know and to make sure you're always on point. I'm Taylor Burke. Thank you for listening.